Oh, how could I forget you? I told you, you look like my friend Matt.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 113 of Sapnin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards, a.k.a. Mo Dick.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. But quick question.
No.
Do you think it's strange that there's a way of how you look, how you act, and how you think?
Did you have to go that far back and scrape that barrel to get that fucking pun?
Well, the thing is, all my best friends are metalheads, so I didn't know if this was the science of selling yourself short or not.
I don't know if I'm genuinely stuck between laughing and crying, and I'm miles away from the microphone. Oh my god, yes. This week's guest, if you hadn't bloody guessed, from Morgan's terrible punnage and also the graphic with his face on it, this week's guest is the fantastic Krista Makes from Less Than Jake.
Yes, one of the gatekeepers to that whole ska versus punk rock third wave invasion. Less Than Jake have been a legendary name in alternative music for the last 30 years, Sean. They've made their impact on pop culture, officially played the most sets at Vans Warped Tour than any other act in that festival's entirety, and they're just the ultimate band to dance to if you like trumpets. But here's what's so interesting about Krista Makes, right? He's a workaholic. He's always got a project going on. He's always keeping himself busy.
He was in the American comedy TV show.
I don't think he was, no. But 2020 was a very busy year for him, because not only do Less Than Jake have a brand new album out now called Silver Linings, but he started his own Krista Makes a podcast and published a book titled Blast from the Past, to showcasing photos of his journey on the road for the last 3 decades. So we thought, let's get him on, have a laugh, have a chat about everything, and share some insane stories. This conversation touches on things we can't really explain, and if you know us at all, or followed Less Than Jake over the years, you know this is a recipe for beautiful disaster and hilarious moments.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Thanks again to Chris for coming on. Lovely, lovely chap. Legendary band, obviously. Despite me not being the greatest fan of ska, I still, of course, I love a good story, and I love a good funny front man. Yeah, as Morgan said, he's got a podcast, he's got a book out now, and Silver Linings, the album, is out now, so make sure you go and check all of Chris's stuff out after you finish, and only after you finish listening to this podcast, not a fucking second, and you will listen to every second of this podcast this week, just in case there's any surprises right at the end. Spoiler alert, there's not.
What, you said, it sounds like you have something to say right at the end of this podcast, so everyone has to make sure to listen to every single second of it.
Or they could just skip forward to the last second.
No, we don't want them doing that, do we? We want them to enjoy the content that we are providing for them. But anyway, I just think, yes, find it mad that we get some iconic figures from every sort of different genre there are possible and just mixing them up, Sean. We're just talking to literally legends.
yeah, it's mad because, like we said a million times, when we started this, I genuinely thought I'd probably speak to about five of my friends and then we'd probably knock us on the head. And here we are now talking to legends from across all the music scenes, you know. If this is your first time listening to Sapling Podcast, thank you so, so much. Make sure you have a look through our discography, I suppose. Ooh. I guess that's what you call it, even though we've never cut a disc. Because there's definitely, definitely at least four other podcasts I reckon you'd enjoy. That's how I'm saying from now on. So, yeah, check out all the other stuff. Please give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter, at SappeningPod. That's at SappeningPod. That's at SappeningPod. And that's Instagram and Twitter. Please give us a follow. Give us a share. Tell us what guests you'd like to hear from in the future. If there's any specific questions you want to know from some of these legends in bands, check all that out. And this is a very, very good fun podcast.
It is, but just before we get into it, if you're thinking, oh, these two Welsh lads are quite nice, I'd like to support them in some way, then please go and check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin. I know we mention it every week, but it literally helps this thing going. We've built a wonderful community out of it, and we love every single aspect of interacting with those lovely bastards. They're so lovely, Sean. They actually got you a gift lately that kind of relates to this episode.
Yes, for Christmas. I had a package arrive at my house, which isn't worrying in the slightest. and I opened it up, and due to my, it's a constant joke in the group about my lack of love of ska. So they got me a trumpet badge, which I now have on my denim jacket, which I wear with pride. I'm waiting for the first checkered pattern wearing punk to come up to me and go, oh, you like ska, do you? And I'm gonna go, no. But thank you very much. They're a fantastic group. If it wasn't for the Patreon, we wouldn't be able to keep making this podcast to put out for free to the masses of people who listen to it for free who haven't subscribed to our Patreon yet. You absolute shitheads. You freeloading buggers.
Yeah. Well, just to say, it was Sean's birthday last month. My birthday is on Tuesday, January 26th. So if you haven't got us a gift, please, we owe both of us a gift. So just head over and subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/sapnin, and just have a wonderful time with us. There's loads of bonus content on there as well. We're going to be uploading some old podcasts that didn't get used. Ooh, a little bit. Ooh, teasing some stuff there. And plenty more. But as we said, yeah, it keeps us going. And everyone in there is a lovely, lovely human being.
Yes, yes, they are. What was I going to say? What do you get me for my birthday?
Oh, well, the thing is, right, I do have
If the answer's nothing, you do have a gift.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait. Oh, fuck.
You don't have to get me anything, Sean, it's fine.
It means that, no, I'm going to have to now. That's why I was asking the first questions, because if you'd said, oh, nothing, you know, we're in a pandemic, I'd go, oh, right, cool, oh, yeah, and then ultimately you'd have had nothing. Now I've got to get you fucking something now, haven't I? Anyway, while I'm wondering what to get Morgan, shall we give this podcast episode a go?
Yes, check this out. This is the wonderful Chris that makes from Less Than Jake, telling us all about the new album Silver Linings and his workaholic mentality.
Yes, what a legend. What a legendary band. Something! I just realised we do that there sometimes, and then literally the next thing I hear is us doing it all Sapnins again.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Sapnin! Oh, he hasn't gone. This week's guest is singer and member of the legendary punk band Less Than Jake.
Yes.
This is Chris DeMakes. How are you, Chris?
I am lovely. How are you guys?
Yeah, good.
Not too bad,
very
thanks,
good.
Yeah.
Ooh, I got to see Sean just gave Morgan the clap. It was great.
Oh my god. Oh, that's the last thing we know is fan fiction.
Oh my don't god. Start that.
Jeez. Have you ever noticed any Less Than Jake fan fiction?
Fan fiction? In what respect? Like stuff that they say that's not true?
No, I mean, like, there's stories, there's got to be. There was about my band, right? And my band did nothing compared to Less Than Jake, right? So there were stories, yeah, of inter-band sexual relations.
Oh, that. Yeah. Not that I know. Not that I remember.
Yeah. Probably for the best, if you don't,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But. Not that you've published yet, anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, speaking of publishing, I should have also said, along with legendary frontman, I should have said author as well. Because
my book is out. It's called Blast from the Past.
Yes, awesome. Well, yeah, can we talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, I've wanted to do a book for a long time, and finally, it's come to fruition. You can find it at. If you'd like to order it, I wrote some songs that accompany the book that are. Every couple of months, I'm going to roll out a few more songs as part of the book campaign, about a year and a half campaign I'm going to do with the book. There'll be new merchandise coming out every couple of months. And after that year and a half, then I'll have my first solo record. Yeah, so we're doing just 7-inch records right now. I did 2 songs. The first single was called Blast from the Past. And you can find the book and all the bundles and everything at chrisdemakesabook.com. And that's DEMAKES. And it'll direct you to the Smart Punk Records page. That's my record label that put it out. And it came out great. There's a calendar. There's a poster. There's an air freshener. There's a bookmark. the t-shirts. There's the music that came with it. So it's really great. It's a storybook that has a picture book that has story accompaniment through the whole thing. So it's a picture with a story of that picture. Took me about 2 years to put together. I've been wanting to do one forever, and it's finally here. I'm excited.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about it earlier, and I love how your surname literally lends itself brilliantly to any website or anything you actually create.
Yeah,
that's absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the running joke when I was a kid. So they were always like, you know, Krista makes a pie, Krista makes a pizza. So when I was thinking of a name for my podcast, my wife actually suggested Krista Makes a Podcast. So I said, you know what? All those bastards used to mess with me on the playground.
Yeah, that's what I was saying to Morgan. It feels like, it's one of those names where, yeah, kids just are bastards when they're younger. But then now you've grown up, you're like, this makes perfect sense for everything I do now. Like, this is genius. It's self-made marketing. But yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah. But that's the thing, Chris. Well, one of one thing I wanted to mention is that you've been so busy as of late, and I'm sure we're going to dissect and go into all these things throughout the conversation, but there's a new Less Than Jake record, you've brought out a book, you've been extremely busy this year with your podcast. I mean, considering everything that's gone on in 2020, how have you found these last few months? Because obviously you've been so creative. How has that experience been for you? Is it just being a mixture of doing as much as you can while everything is kind of on lockdown?
Well, you know, I've kind of always been that personality that I don't do anything half-assed. So if I'm going to do something, it's all or nothing. And so this presented an opportunity to me to actually do some stuff that I've been wanting to do for some time. You know, the book has been in motion for, like I said, about 2 years, because the book started on Instagram. I was just putting one picture and a story a day. I did that for 365 days. And then I've taken that and compiled it into a book and wow. Had to re-edit it and massage a couple things. Aside from that, everything else that you mentioned, the podcast and all the other stuff, in conjunction with all the Less Than Jake stuff that we've done all year, we've been busy as a band minus being able to tour. So, you know, it just gave me the opportunity to dive into a lot of things that I've wanted to do for a long time. But, you know, our band never stopped touring, as you know. You know, we're over to the UK at least once or twice a year, sometimes three times. And you know, if we have a festival season, same thing with Europe and a bunch of other countries. So we're constantly on the road, and you can do things on the road, but it's difficult. You know, oh, we don't have a Wi-Fi connection today. I don't have this. I'm traveling all day. I can't do stuff. So for me to know that I was going to be home, it was a great opportunity to dive into all this stuff.
Yeah. And as soon as you realize that Less Than Jake is not going to be playing 250 shows plus whatever you normally do every year, was it kind of a worry at first sight and trying to think, oh, what's actually going to happen? Or did you have that kind of refreshing experience of being like, well, actually I can get all these stuff done now and I can have a bit more time at home and live that life a little more?
Well, it was actually a relief, because I had so many projects on the books. I also do custom songs and jingles. So if you want a jingle for your restaurant, or you want a song for your wife's, for your anniversary, or for your brother, I've written songs about people's dogs that have died. I mean, it's been crazy. So basically I had all these projects on the books, and I have another computer system I was going to take on the road with me with a bunch of gear so that I'd be able to set up in the dressing room and continue to do this. So that was the worry, was how am I going to do all this work when I'm on the road? So being able to be home, I already had so much lined up in front of me that it was like, oh, we're not touring. It wasn't like, oh man, the bottom dropped out and I don't know what I'm going to do with myself or support my family or whatever. It was none of those thoughts. It was just about, okay, I'm home now and I'm lucky that I have stuff to do.
Yeah, nice. Oh, well, yeah, that's super good to hear, because yeah, we've spoken to loads of people who just have been lost, like loads of bands have just been kind of lost in that. Like they're carrying on, but they just don't know really what was going to happen for them, because they didn't have any kind of backup plans or any other work in place or whatever. Yeah, about that song about the dog dying. Was it a sad one, or was it a more of an upbeat one?
A little bit of both. You know, I've gotten video testimonials. You can go on my YouTube page. If you go to chrisdemakes.com, that'll redirect you to my YouTube page, and you can go under custom songs and you'll hear my work there. And people send in videos of like their wives or their husbands getting these videos. They're emotional by it. So it's really a cool different take that I never, it started out as just a friend wanted me to write a song for her dad had passed away, and it kind of the light bulb went off. And that was December 2nd of last year. So that was a full three months or so before all this stuff started happening. So I was doing that. And then I started, even before the lockdown, I started doing video, much like we're speaking right now, Zoom consultations. I'll do everything from collaborating on songs, producing songs, answering questions about the music business. So I'm doing that as well, in conjunction with the custom songs and the podcast and the book. And so it's been busy.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Well, yeah. Sounds like you haven't had any time to relax at all. But with those custom songs in particular, I mean, do you sometimes just get, you must get some really out there and outrageous kind of concepts for requests of what you actually want, what people want you to write songs for?
I mean, I'll give you one. There was a hidden track on Losing Streak years ago that basically it was this old guy that used to live in our apartment complex, and it was a hidden track. So you'd have to rewind past the first song, and it would go before the first song. And there was this monologue from our neighbor. And basically there's this part in there where he's talking about shitting his pants. And I just quoted him one morning on Twitter just for fun. I just quoted from that thing, just see if any fans kind of remembered that hidden track. Sometimes fans will talk about it. And like this dude writes me out of nowhere, and he's just like, "Hey man, you inspired me." And he basically sent me lyrics of, basically it's a song about him shitting his pants, drinking too much beer. Yeah. And he's like, I want you to write this song. I'm like, all right, if that's what you want. So, I mean, it's been everything from that to really sad songs to just happy songs. There's other songs that guys are like, "Hey man, I only get to see my friends like once a year now. I live on the West Coast. They live on the East Coast. We grew up together. We used to go to shows all the time. They're my forever brothers, and I want you to write a song for them." And I'll do that. And then they'll send me the video of all five of them on Zoom listening to the song for the first time, like freaking out, you know? So it just kind of runs the gamut. I just finished my 131st song in a year.
Wow.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. So it's crazy. It's all day. It's been literally, it's kind of taken over, you know, between, like I said, between everything I have going on personally, and the band just hasn't toured this year, but we have a new record coming out, Silver Linings. It's going to be out this Friday, December 11th. And, we have a live stream. That'll be 11 p.m. for everyone in the UK. 11 p.m. You can find tickets at lessthanjake.com for that. And it's Late Night with Less Than Jake. It's not just us staring at our shoes going, "Hey, this next song is called Johnny Quest." It's literally a full, like, late night talk show that we're doing with our lives. And we're the band. We're the featured band.
Nice.
Awesome.
Is there any special guests, or is that all hush hush?
Me. And if I had a brain in my head and any fucking manners, I would have had you guys be the special guests.
Oh, no, you don't want that.
You don't want that.
No,
that'd be
Jesus
chaos.
Christ. No, yeah. Yeah, you just have complaints of Americans going, "What are they saying? What is this language? What they're trying to speak?"
That means I've been to your country too many times. That's why I understand the language.
That is it. That is definitely it.
I got a funny story about that. I got a funny story about that in a second, But yeah, the live stream is at special guests. We have a band called Plasma Canvas that's going to play before us, and a band called Days and Days. Those two bands are playing before us. And then we have other special guests within the show that I can't divulge right now, but some pretty, pretty cool stuff. But yeah, with my coach driver, bus driver from England, Tim and his wife, they always vacation in Orlando every year. And they came over to take their children to Disney World. It's a couple of years ago. And my wife and I had never met. My wife never met them, you know, but they came over and we met them out for lunch one day, and we're sitting there at the table, and we get done with lunch and we're walking back to the car, and I look at my wife. I said, "Are you okay?" She's like, "Yeah, why?" I'm like, "You didn't say anything during the meal." And she's like, "Chris, I didn't understand a fucking word you guys were talking." she's like, "How do you understand them?" I'm like, and it was so odd to me because there's nothing. I mean, I know all the slang in most of this. There's very few things. I'm like, "What is that?" Like, I know all the slang. Like, it's not a nap, it's a kip. It's, you know, it's all the things that we take for commonplace, you know?
Yeah. That's crazy. And yeah. Funny thing, on a smaller scale. Yeah. My girlfriend, she's from deepest, darker South Wales. And I took her to talk to my friends in Cardiff, and she was like, I don't get. I was like, "What? It's like 20 miles away. I don't understand." Yeah, it's just,
it's that Newcastle line. Once you get to Newcastle, all the Geordies, and then you get above that into Scotland. It's just like, forget about it.
Yeah. Or here's a question: do Less Than Jake constantly get asked to come to Brazil or come to Newcastle? Because it seems to be a running theme with bands. A lot of bands get nagged to come to Brazil or Newcastle. Is that a thing you've ever noticed?
We've been to Brazil quite a bit, and we've been to Newcastle quite a bit, but no one's ever particularly asked us to come to those places.
Oh, okay, cool. All right,
that's it. I mean, considering that they're about let me think here. Let me do the math. Brazil's a good 7,646 kilometers from Newcastle, so it's not like it's right around the corner. Yeah.
No, I know. Yeah, it's strange. It's just, we've talked to a bunch of bands on here who was like, yeah, like loads of people as well would be like, oh yeah, we were always like British people would be like, come to Newcastle the day we were in Newcastle, and yeah, it just seemed to be a running theme. Mm.
How far is Rio de Janeiro from Newcastle, England, in kilometers?
Oh, here we go.
I was off by 2,000. It's 9,494.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, that's a pretty big gap there.
Yeah.
But it's pretty far.
If you don't make those further 2,000 miles, that's a lot of wet Geordies swimming to...
It certainly
swimming
is.
Swimming over there. I took it off a wild one. But
speaking of like the creativity of writing these songs, I mean, obviously, you know, Les and Jake now have been super busy with your new record, Silver Linings. It's your ninth album as a band, but your first in 7 years. I mean, why is it being so long? Is it just because you've been so busy as a band touring over the years that you haven't had the right time to really sit down and focus on a whole record full of material?
Well, we released an album that had 7 songs on it.
Hmm.
It was an EP. It's considered an EP. So 7 songs is not a 3-song EP or a 4-song EP. It's 7 songs. So it was close to a full record, and that was in 2017. It was called Sound the Alarm. So we have put out music, and then you know our drummer who had been with us, Vinny, for 26 years, he left in 2018. So when he left the band, it was like we were kind of at that point thinking about a next record that most likely would have come out in 2019, you know, had he stayed in the band. So he left, and our current drummer, Matt, who's been with us for years, he's been our sound guy, and we've known him. He's worked with us for about 20 years. He's a fantastic drummer. He stepped in, and it was a process of working with, you know, playing with him and learning how to play with one another, mostly for the live shows, because you mentioned a moment ago, Morgan, you know, was it because of touring? Well, yeah, we still tour so much, so that's a lot of the reason. But and then the record would have been out a year ago, roughly. We were going to have this album out in April of this year, because the album's been recorded since last November. The album title Silver Linings has nothing to do with what's going on. That title was already, you know, all the lyrics, everything was already done pre all this stuff. So we wanted to have it out earlier, it wasn't in the plans, and here we are. So yeah, and I'm pretty confident to say that now that we have Matt and we're stable with playing with one another, that we're going to be recording a lot more and more frequent than we have.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Well, Lie to Me is out now. And I get like a fresher, kind of like a more urgent Less Than Jake. Is that like a feeling in the camp now? Like I felt like it was fresh, upbeat, kind of more, I don't know, kind of more powerful Less Than Jake than ever, I suppose. Is that something
I think it's fair to say, you know, anytime you go through a member change, it's going to do something to the dynamic. And just, you know, our drummer Matt plays really aggressively. He plays different than Vinny did. And so there's some newfound energy and spark with that. So that's I think a big component of it. You know, our writing has changed a little bit. We're able to do some different things, and if it would have been a different drummer besides Matt, it would have been different than what it is. anytime you change a member, it's going to add something. So I'd like to, you know, give him a pat on the back and say that I think that some of that energy and that urgency you're hearing is the way that he communicates through his drumming.
And obviously, let's go back to the book, Blast from the Past. You mentioned this really photogenic journey from your touring life.
Well, one moment, I'll give you a peek here.
Ooh.
Ooh. So basically, yeah, it's I used to dress up as characters on stage. So one night, it was no rhyme or reason. One night I'd be a redneck. Next day I'd be a baseball player. And I didn't like just wear like the baseball cap and a jersey, like full baseball pants, the stirrups, the cleats, the makeup under the eyes, like the glove in the back pocket. Like I was ready to go to a baseball game. That's me actually on the front cover as a truck driver.
Mm-hmm. I see that. This is brilliant.
Yeah. So then the stories inside, you can see me dressed up here.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And it was, so it's just, like I said, a story accompaniment. There's some of our merchandise. We've had some hats. There's a picture of me. So basically it's a story or a picture with a story that tells basically what's going on. Like this is a picture of me on a fake horse in some mall in Portugal in 1999. And it just got documented, you know.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
There's me and a pair of shorts that I don't know if you can see it. Looks like I have the ass cheeks cut out.
Yeah.
Nice. And there's a story. The story about that's really funny. We were in Atlanta, and there was a Warped Tour years ago. And the guy that reviewed the show was like, first of all, this band is just a washed up ska band. They're terrible. All their songs sound the same. And their singer is a vile man to come out and come out with his ass hanging out in front of a bunch of 14-year-old kids. It's like it was fake. It wasn't my real ass. But because trust me, you don't want to see my real ass.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, but obviously this has been 2 years in the making, and you mentioned that on Instagram in the past you've liked to post photos while touring and stuff. But over the years, were these just all photos that had been generated from different kind of magazines and tours and everything like this? Or like, was it kind of hard to actually track them down?
No, it wasn't hard at all, because I had probably 50% of them in my collection. And one of our old roadies and our old trombone player, they were taking pictures all the time back in the day. So they were a treasure trove of this stuff. I already had a lot of their pictures. And then I reached out to them. I said, can you help me with this? And within a day, they just went and, you know, got the shoebox out or got their old camera out and just started sending me stuff. There's a couple other people I hit up, a buddy of mine in Gainesville that used to tour with us years ago. And I got like one or two pictures from him, some family members I had called and asked. And then once I started putting the pictures up, people knew what was going on. Fans started sending in pictures of, I was just like stuff that I was like, holy crap. Like I could not believe that these photos existed, you know? So that started happening, which was really cool. But it was great to be able to go back and relive all this. And it was really cool to be able to, you know, I always wanted to write a book, but I never wanted it to be just the typical, because I've read every autobiography and biography that there is. That's like my thing. So any band or artist you can think of, even bands that I'm not a fan of, I just enjoy reading what their life and what their experience was. And I've started an outline in the past and was always kind of the telltale, you know, the book club. Hey, I'm Chris DeMakes. I was born in Michigan and September 27th. It kind of followed that. I'm like, you know, this is boring. So when I started doing this one picture a day, and I had the idea, I'm going to do this for 365 days. It was about 3 weeks into it that I was like, okay, I'm writing my book one story at a time, and it's not going to follow any chronological order. It's going to be all over the place. It might be a picture from current day to day, and then we'll go back to 1994 and the next picture. So it's kind of takes you on a journey that doesn't really follow, which is kind of how it's felt. You know, like there's things that I did 2 months ago that it seems like a blur and I have no recollection of. And then there's stuff I did in 1993 that I could tell you what I ate that day. You know, it's that vivid, you know? So that's kind of why I wanted to do the book like this.
Yeah.
Was there many photos that didn't make the cut? Was there lots of photos that you were like, oh, this can't go in, this will get us jailed?
Well, there was one that made the book, but I had to crop it at the neck. It was me, and you could see my pubes hanging out. It was like, I was like, I can't put that out.
Oh no, that's the OnlyFans. That's the OnlyFans extra.
Yeah, that's lonely fans. That's what I'm starting. if you want to look at my pubes, you must be really fucking lonely.
Oh, wow. That's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
What some of your favorite like elements of the book and stories and photos over those years? Because obviously, you've less than Jake of being in touring situations where you've played main stage of Warped Tour for numerous of times. You've been on the road with bands like Blink-182 and all your fellow ska acts. I mean, it must just be great to have that kind of documented now in a physical release.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. My, you know, my favorite part of the book is that there is real human emotion throughout it. There's humor. It's just real. You know, that's what it was. There's no embellishing. It's real. It's what was going on, and anybody in a band can relate to it, and certainly the fans are going to be relate to it because it's given them insight to what it's really like out there. You know, and I talk shit on myself. I talk shit on my band members. It's kind of like how we are in real life. You know, I make fun of just the absurdity of getting paid to dress up and get on stage and talk the amount of shit that I do. It's ridiculous when you think about it. It's absolutely ridiculous. And that's not lost on me. Like, I realize how fortunate I am to be able to get to do this. So, you know, there's just the book is the one thing I could say about it. It's real. And you can feel that when you read it. And it's a great read. It's a lot of fun. And I'm just proud of it. I'm glad that it finally came. I mean, how could you not like that? That dude right there.
That is a strong look. Strong look.
Yeah. And am I right in saying that a lot of the solo music you've kind of incorporated for this is kind of based off those stories and certain characters that you've portrayed the way?
Yeah, so the one character I just showed you, his name was Seth Baumeister. Mm. So the lead track on this record is called Blast from the Past. That was the name of the book. That's going to be the name of the album. That was the name of the first single. So when the book campaign's finally done in a year and a half, there's going to be a full vinyl album and release called Blast from the Past with all of these songs. Plus, I'm probably going to record like two more to tack on the record so it gives people an incentive to buy it. But Blast from the Past, the first single. And the second single, it came out today, release day. The second single is called All American Asshole. And it's about Seth, the character. So all the songs from the book, all the songs from the solo album are going to be based on the book. It's kind of like a concept album with the book.
Nice. Is this Smart Punk's first book?
Yes.
Release? Nice.
Yeah, first book release. They've never done one. They were very upfront with me about it because I went to them and was talking to them about doing a book. And they said, man, we've never done one. You know, we really kind of don't really know what we're doing. I go, well, either do I. Let's do it together. You know, I didn't want to go to, and they're super fans of the band. I knew that their hearts would be into it. I didn't want to go to just some publishing company or someone to get the book made. Like, who are you again? It's Chris DeMakes. Oh, okay. Yeah, we got the books and they're coming in tomorrow. Like, you know what I mean? I didn't want to have that disc. I wanted to work with someone that, even though maybe Smart Punk or any record label maybe that hadn't done a book wasn't the best route to go, it was for me because I know that, like, I can call them up and they're excited about it. And it's been awesome. They've done beyond amazing job. We just get on the phone, basically, again, the absurdity of getting paid to do this. We get on the phone and just laugh our ass off. Like, it's ridiculous.
Brilliant. Awesome. Yeah.
So, Chris, one of the things I wanted to ask you is, obviously, over the years, Les and Jake have just been known as an energetic band. I've mentioned that being able to get a lot of different opportunities at the same time you might not expect, where I said, like, Warped Tour, but you've supported bands like Bon Jovi, if I'm not mistaken. Like,
yeah.
When you look back at all the things the band has done, is there any of those little things that come to mind that really shock you and you go, oh yeah, we did that, or like amazed that you were able to have that opportunity?
Yeah, all the time. And we've, you know, been doing this now for going on 30 years, to where I don't want to say that novelty of what you just said is worn off, but there's been so many instances of it. Like, and now if I were to take myself back to being a 15-year-old kid in my bedroom in my parents' house, and you're to tell me, yeah, you're gonna be doing shots one day with Kerry King from Slayer, I'd be like,
yep.
What are you talking about? Like, there's no, dude, what? You know, like sandwiched at the Kerrang Awards, less than Jake's table, Slayer's over here, and here's Meatloaf. Yeah,
the Holy Trinity.
And I'm doing Jaeger shots. You know, got to meet James Hetfield from Metallica, and shake his hand and tell him what he meant to me. Just been able to tour with the Descendants and become friends of theirs. Mm, like, they were my idols growing up. Got to meet Brian Queen from Brian May from Queen, Rob Halford from Priest. Touring with Bon Jovi, which, if I can thumb through here real quick, I'll look for the picture. But
how did that go? How were the Jovi crowd?
they hated us. It was great. And we made complete, it was, you know, our motto has always been, if they don't like the music, they're going to remember us. So I was dressed in like metal outfit with my real ass cheeks cut out. I'd go out there and I'd be shaking. And the shit that we talked on that tour, but we ended up making fans, you know, we made fans. And Bon Jovi loved us. Cause like, we had been a band for 10 years at that point. Like, we were professional. Like, we would wheel our stuff up there. We'd already have our microphones clipped onto our drum set, like pro. Like, they thought we were kids, you know. I was 25, 26 when I did that tour. So to them, we were kids, but like, we had been doing this, like we were pretty seasoned at that point.
Yeah. Some of my favorite supports that my old band ever did were supporting bands that the crowd hated us. Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Have you ever been accidentally booked for the, like a stupidly metal festival or anything like that?
Yeah, we played a metal meeting in Belgium. I'm trying to think of the name of that festival. It's called the Metal Meeting. What the hell is it called?
I'll have a look.
Metal Meeting?
Wacken? It's not Wacken, is it? Or Grass Pop?
Grass Pop. Metal Meeting, that's what it is, yeah. No, yeah. We never played Wacken. We never played that, but we did it. We have played Grass Pop. That was the one in Belgium. So, but again, we go out there and you'd be surprised. A lot of, you know, we have a song called All My Best Friends Are Metalheads. Like, we grew up loving metal. So a lot of metal, people that love metal, they don't just love metal. You know, they love other stuff. Yeah, yeah. And we entertain a crowd, man. You don't have to like our, that's the best compliment we ever had. You don't have to like our music. You're going to have fun if you want to have fun. Or you'll walk away going, those guys are real assholes, which we win that with that too. So it's a win-win situation. Cause that's why I started the band was I never wanted to intentionally hurt anybody's feelings and neither anybody in the band did, but we like to piss people off. Like, one of the best compliments we ever had when we first started, there was a ska band in Tampa and they were traditional ska and very mellow, good friends of ours. And it was one of the first times we had played a show with them. And we're after the show, their singer Ed comes up to me and he's like, what's up, man? He's like, man, you're really abrasive. And I'll never forget that, because that was what we were doing. We were going out and just, you know, and it, not everyone was happy about it. You know, there was some people that were just, you're vulgar, you're this, you're that, but we did it under the guise of that's the punk bands that we grew up and liked, that there were wanted to start some shit, you know? And we've always had fun though. It was never, like I said, it was never under the guise of trying to hurt people's feelings.
Yeah.
Nice.
Fantastic. Yeah. And speaking of all the projects as well, obviously Kristen Makes a Podcast, you've been really busy with that for 2020, but it's quite a unique insight into the world of songwriting, because obviously you get a guest on and you really analyze a certain track of theirs and all the ins and outs from it. I mean, doing that in itself, has it been quite refreshing for you to see how other people have worked and have really written some of their biggest hits?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, so, you know, my manager, he was really insistent on me doing a podcast this year. And he's like, just think about it. Like, it could do nothing but help, not just you, but it could help your band. Because it can help Less Than Jake. Like, if the podcast got big enough, like, you could like get on there and talk about the next Less Than Jake tour or show. And it could, you know, it's kind of a win-win. But he said, but I want you to have a theme. Like, what we're doing right now, like, just a regular podcast of talking, I couldn't do, because I'm on this side of it. I've done thousands of interviews over the years. And the last thing I want to do is interview my peers. I would never want to do that. Or even just talk to them like we're doing right now. That's why I was so hesitant about doing a podcast for so long. And he said, no, I don't want, and that's not what I'm saying. I think you should have a theme, and I think it should be songwriting. It'll tie into the custom songs that you're doing. And I'm fascinated and I love songwriting. So I thought, you know what, I'll give this a go. And to answer your question, it's been great, because every episode is the same topic, but they've been all vastly different. Everybody writes from a different point of view, from the lyrical subject to how they write chords and how they think of song structure. So it's just been, great. It's like, it's the same episode every time, but it's completely different.
Yeah. Who have you had on who's had like the weirdest writing technique to you, like compared to how you guys write?
You know, no one's really stuck out that surprised me. I get all of them. And I've kind of done a little bit of everything that everyone's done, you know. I know I stick with my one thing, but I may have learned, oh yeah, I've thought about doing it that way. I guess a lot of people will, one artist, I can't recall who it was right now, writes the music completely and then writes the lyrics. And I've never done that. I've always kind of at least had an idea or had a melody. If I didn't have lyrics, I'd have a melody. This person would just write the music, then the melody, and then the lyrics would come. So that was one thing, I guess, that was something that I'd be like, yeah, I've never done that. I can't imagine doing that. I'm always kind of humming as I'm playing guitar chords.
Yeah, well, that's a really unique way of looking at stuff, because like I think most music fans are not really aware how different one song can be writing from another. You know, an idea can just hit you, or you've worked on something for so long and changed it along the way.
Yeah, no, and I love it just because every episode I tell the artist without fail something about their song they never realized. Because I'm looking at it differently than they are. I'm taking it. And these are songs that they may not have listened to for 10 years. I don't sit around and listen to Les and Jake. You just don't as an artist. You know, you record it, you purge it. You know, anytime I ever revisit our catalog is when I'm going back to, you know, like relearn a song I haven't played in 10 years. You know, oh, let me go practice this and I'll listen to it. But every episode, doesn't matter who it was, they all say, like, I remember it was the Mark Hoppus from Blink episode. I said, you realize from the first note of this song to when the first chorus hits, it's only 23 seconds. And he bursts out laughing. He's like, what? I'm like, yeah, dude, 23 seconds. It's like unheard of. Usually like you're around the 48 second mark a minute till you get to a chorus in a song, you know? And he was like flabbergasted by that. And it's happened every episode. And that's cool for me because again, I'm taking the song and I put time into it. I think I've had that comment. People have mentioned that you can tell that in reviews that Chris puts time in doing this, because it's not just like, hey, how you doing? Let's talk about this song. And I take it, I go line by line. I pick up the guitar. I learn it. I figure out, pre-chorus there, the melody changes on the third line. Why? And they're like, sometimes they're like, well, I was our producer. He wanted it to be a little different. Or sometimes they're like, it does? It changes? Yeah. What? They don't even know that the melody changes there.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah, well, fantastic. And with all this as well, I mean, you know, you're constantly busy writing music and doing other projects. But has there been anything else in the pipeline or anything you can tell us that you've been working on behind the scenes? Or have you actually tried to get some relaxing in as well?
Well, no. I mean, I've been, you know, between this and my children, you know, I get up with them in the mornings. I'm with them for a couple hours. And then I spend about an hour in the afternoon with them. And then the evening I get another 2 hours in with them. So, and there's some days I will take a day off to spend the day with my kids, but you know, it's like working a real job. You know, if you left early in the morning, you'd see your kids for half hour, you'd go all day and come home. And so I make time for my family. And then besides that, I work 7 days a week. I mean, I'm constantly working and doing this because I don't know when I'm going to be back on the road and I may not have this time. I'm really harnessing this opportunity and taking it for all that it's worth right now. So, but as for other things, once I can get back out there, I want to go to unis. I want to go to high schools, music seminars, and I want to take this on the road. I want to take basically go out and I want to speak. I want to do speaking engagements about my career, take the book with me. Do you have stories? Have a screen behind me. I'll flash pictures up there. I'll talk about, you know, basically a blast from the past live.
Wow.
As well as I want to take the podcast on the road. So that's another idea down the road. For instance, I'll be in Los Angeles and I'll rent out, I don't know, a hotel conference room. And we'd charge for tickets. It wouldn't be anything crazy. Probably be like, you know, $5, $10 a ticket. And we'd have fans come in and it would be me live sitting across from Mark Hoppus from Blink or somebody. And we'd both have guitars and we would talk about the song. And at the end, we'd play it acoustic together.
Nice. So, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. And then there's about 30 million other ideas I have. And whether the ones I just said even come, I know the speaking engagements are going to come to fruition. That's going to happen. Whether the live podcast happens, I don't know, but I'd like to. And as far as the podcast, I don't have any delusions of, you know, of it being anything more than it is now, in the sense that I'm happy where it's at, but I'd like to take it all the way to being on TV and have a podcast to where it's like got picked up by a network. Cause I think it's a really good, good format. If I could sit across from the artist in person and we could actually play the song at the end, I think people would be interested in seeing that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think that playing the song together at the end would be a very important part. Cause then, yeah, people would get to see everything you've just talked about and yeah, it all coming together. So yeah, it's awesome. Congratulations on coming up with a great idea for a podcast while we sit here with a standard talking bollocks to people podcast. Sorry, Chris.
No, not at all. I've said that recently when I've done interviews and podcasts, and it's no disrespect. I just, being on this side of it, like I said, I wanted to have something that had a topic to it for my guests, because it's been difficult for me to get, and the people have like been freaking out. Like, obviously they know I'm in the business, but they're like, how have you gotten some of these guests that you've gotten? Well, I've gotten them because I've had to either talk to them directly or their manager and telling them, this isn't an interview. I don't care about your second drummer who screwed your wife. I don't care about, you know what I mean? Like what people want to dig and get. I don't care about any of that. I care about one defining song from your career. I'm not going to ask about how you're doing. I'm not going to ask when the next album is. I don't care. I care about this one song. And that's refreshing for some people, especially right now, because they don't have a lot to talk about, or they don't know when the next tour is, or, you know, I don't have anything to talk about. I don't want to be on a podcast or be on an interview right now because I have nothing going on. I'm not touring. Well, no, it doesn't matter. You do have a lot going on for me. You have a song that is iconic that people want to hear about that song. So it's a good concept.
On the flip side of it though, have you had people freak out about having to like remember things from a song they might have put out 20-30 years ago?
No, I haven't had that, because I kind of do the work for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm there, like I said, I go through with a fine tooth comb really meticulously. Speaking of fine tooth comb, a haircut just popped up. Do you see that, Morgan?
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
Sorry.
What, was that your cranium back when you had short hair?
Yeah, before I tried the lockdown mullet, which I'm currently growing.
Wow, you look like a model. What the hell happened?
Oh, Jesus Christ. This is getting worse. This is getting worse. You're like, started so well. I was enjoying this. for fuck's sake.
It was a good look.
Was, yeah.
It was a compliment.
Yeah. Whoa, you look way better then, Sean. Thanks, Chris. Yeah.
I call that the German compliment. You know what the German compliment is? It's this.
Yes.
It's like, I saw you last time you were in Berlin and you were really good. Not so much this time.
Yep.
So I like your band. I like your band, but you were shit when I saw you today.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, my old band was on tour with Funeral for a Friend, and I was watching the singer Matt get interviewed by a German guy, and the German fella said, "So, your new album, you like it?" And Matt said, "Yeah." And he went, "What, really?" I was like, "Oh!" Yeah, they're awfully blunt. They're awfully blunt, but yeah. But that's no excuse, Chris. You're not German, so...
I know. Well, my grandmother was German, so I got it.
Yeah,
there
a little bit go. Snuck out. Yeah, a little bit snuck out. Sean, you look way better. Sorry, Morg, I'm lost now.
How do you follow that?
I don't know.
And obviously, just before we let you go, Chris, with everything going on as well, like, what does keep you motivated to try all these new projects and stuff? Because you could easily just kind of rest on your laurels, and a lot of other bands do, of just wanting to wait until the next tour and just using this time to relax and everything. But what keeps you motivated, wanting to try new stuff all the time and be creative and get out there?
I just had an epiphany about a year ago. It wasn't a midlife crisis. It was that I'm on the back half of my life. Okay. I had an amazing, crazy first 30 years with this band. It was nuts. And I lived 100 men's lives in those 30 years. Mm. I have documentation of it. Go on YouTube. You can see it. Okay. And it's been a great life. And I have young children now, a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old. And I want to And when I say I had a great life, I would come home between tours and the party just kind of kept rolling. It was like, I'd be home and I just worked for 6 weeks and I you know, on tour. So I'm just going to go hang out with my buddies and go drink some beers and eat bad food and go to the beach or do whatever. Those things don't interest me anymore. What interests me is my family and providing for my family and keeping myself completely immersed in projects. I never felt this way before until about the last year and a half. And it's just, my life just changed, you know, like I look back on the things that I was doing and again, I had a great life, but you know, staying out till 3 or 4 in the morning with my buddies when I'm off the road, it doesn't interest me anymore. I'm just not, it's a different part of my life. So that's really the motivating factor is just, family. And, I don't have any distractions. I live way up in the mountains in Tennessee. There's nothing around here. There's no place to go. If I wanted to go see, if there was shows, I'd have to travel 45 minutes to an hour to see a show where I live. So, which for folks in the UK, you just hop on a train and go do that. That doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal, but to drive your car 45 minutes to a show where I'm at in my life, it doesn't interest me. So it's a good place for no distractions where I'm at.
Awesome.
Well, yeah, that's very, very good to hear.
Yeah, well, thanks so much, Chris, for taking the time. It's been an absolute pleasure. It's just been great to get an insight into everything, and really excited to have a look at this book and keep on listening to the podcast.
Right on, guys. Well, thank you so much for your time, and have a wonderful rest of your day.
You're listening to the Sapping Podcast!
Yeah! That was more jazz than ska, wasn't it, really?
What the fuck was that? Go back and listen to us coming out that interview, right? I was just going to hold our note for as long as possible until you turned into fucking Scatman Moog. What the fuck?
Give it a new
fucking hell, that's not ska. No. Have you ever used ska?
Yes, I quite like Less Than Jake. I'm a big fan of a lot of their records.
You've never used any lion shit. How can you skim it up, 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 boop? That's got nothing to do with them, you fucking maniac. That's fucking brilliant. I can't believe he's done that. What you've done is you've thought ska, right? And then you've taken the first three letters of scat, right? Yeah. And you've gone, that's close enough. Spill up, 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 up. When you could have had Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Well, I can't do the good trumpet dance on the podcast, really, can I? So I just thought I'd just go with the first thing that came to my head.
With anything. Yeah. Which was wrong. Yeah. Thanks again to Chris. Thank you to Less Than Jake. Thank you to the team for sorting it out. As you heard, we had a good time. It was nice to see him and see him smiling. Not that he's never not smiling. Like, he's in a ska band. How could he not be, you know, how could he not smile being in a ska band?
Yeah, it's just great to get an insight into everything, and especially with that book and having like 30 years worth of photos of just the journey that band has been on. I mean, he mentioned he started that on Instagram, trying to post a photo a day. I find that hard enough myself. I'm trying to take photos and stuff of day-to-day life, and I'm not going to lie to you, it gets pretty boring after a while, but when you're on the road as much as he's been and seeing the things he's seeing, I mean, it's a book I really want to check out. So fair play to him for the genius idea.
Yes, I struggle to ever post on my Instagram.
Yeah, you hardly do you? So you love your story. You love a good story post.
I do love a good story post. It's easy, isn't it? Yeah. Just 24 hours. Get in, have a look, see what Sean's offended by lately. Oh, it's the Tories again.
That's true.
And then think. But yeah, I don't really post on my wall. No. Much. I don't know what that is. It's almost as if I've got a fear of posting on my... It's turned into a... I don't know what it is. Yeah. Like, I feel like my wall... I don't know why. My wall should be for photos of me for some reason.
Okay.
Right? So, yeah, there's no good photos of me anymore. So I struggle to post. So, yeah, this has gone from very, very funny making fun of you doing scat instead of ska noises. And now it's gone to me question my whole belief as a person.
I'm surprised by that, though. Like, I've always been surprised. I thought you would have posted more photos of, like, from gigs or just traveling, or obviously throwback Thursdays you can do. Plenty of people do.
But that's my thing with that is, in the past, I have slagged people off for doing that very thing. Okay. Like, oh, remember when everything was good for you? Oh, is it? You're doing fuck all now. Like, I am. Yeah, so I am that now. I get tagged and stuff, and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. But it was the blackout or whatever. So I'm like, I don't want to live. I don't want to live in the past, even though right now, with no gigs going on and potentially no gigs going on for quite some time. Ooh. It's what everybody has to do. But I still can't bring myself to be like, oh, I used to love. Like, I don't get me wrong. I fucking loved every minute of being in the blackout.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't want to be that guy of going, oh, remember when I used to do this? Just because... I think I'd be hypocritical of me because I've slagged people off for doing it themselves.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think we were going to get. I didn't think we were going to have this fucking 2 minutes of therapy.
No, I didn't either. But I don't know. Sean takes some selfies from time to time. If you're feeling good, showcase it. That's what I say.
Yeah, but look at me at the moment, Morgan. I got a mullet. That's terrible. It's big. It's all over the shop. Nobody wants to see photos of me. I got asked to do a thing the other day for Independent Venue Week to ask would I do like a video thing, and I just kind of replied, I'm not kind of in the being on camera type mode at the moment either, so I didn't do that, but...
You do you, Sean. You do you, but...
Thanks, Morg.
No. Fucking mad. But yes, thanks again to Chris. Wonderful, wonderful conversation. Less Than Jake's new album, Silver Linings, is available now wherever you get your albums from. If you stream it, buy it, get a vinyl. They've probably got some really cool colours, special editions and all that. And hopefully there'll be one of those bands playing at festivals over here in the UK again. Whenever that will happen, fingers crossed. Wish him the
best. Let's take bets of when gigs are coming back. I'm going to say Negative Nancy, Sean Smith, is going to say there will not be a gig unless it's a super spreader type non-mask event held by some crusty punk band or The Who till 2022.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not getting my hopes up for this year.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd love to see it. I hope they all go ahead. But for my sake of my mental health, I'm not getting excited for anything just yet because I know I'll get over enthusiastic about it. I'll look forward to it too much. It won't happen, and then I'll be a sad emo kid all over again.
Yeah, so, yeah, this isn't me shooting anything down. Don't get me wrong. There is nothing that would be better for my mental health right now than my band Raiders doing a gig where I get to beat myself up on stage in front of a couple of people. There is nothing in the world that would be better for my mental health right now than yelling obscenities in a microphone in front of people. I promise you. But just the lack of listening from people, I think, is going to play a big part in whatever happens going forward. So, fingers crossed. I'd like a gig tomorrow, but I can't see it for a while. But yeah,
this has gone down a very negative route. So I think we should. This was fun. This was a fun episode. So let's switch the mood up a little bit, Sean. Is there any new music or anything you've checked out lately that you're enjoying? You want to talk about or?
Yes, I very much enjoyed the latest single from Holding Absence called Afterlife.
Yes.
I think that's very, 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 very good. And also James from the band has left as well, which is some news.
Yeah, he's going to focus on his other project, James and the Cold Gun. Incidentally, with one of my good friends, James Biss. Looking forward to seeing what they come out with together in the future.
Yeah, what a mad situation, like. Oh, here's a massive song. I'm off. What?
The balls like, to do that as well, though. Like, just off, to be like,
unbelievable.
Fuck it.
Yeah, he's a giant man. He's probably got a giant set of balls. As soon as I saw it, I went, how quick can I learn all the bass parts to all the Abson songs? And the answer is not quick enough, because I've got no musical talent whatsoever. So, yeah, I enjoyed that. I've enjoyed Sucker Punch, the whole album, by Yumi 6, pretty much. What else has come out? Dead Butterfly, some Architects, has come out, which is a terrible song name for somebody who's so militant vegan.
Now you mention that, that's kind of true.
It should just be called Butterflies.
Or Alive Butterflies, yeah.
Yeah, well, or Butterflies, as you know. You're not Alive Morgan Richards, are you?
Well, I am, but...
Welcome to a live Sapling podcast. Welcome to currently active Sapling podcast. And when it stopped, people go, oh, dead Sapling podcast, is it?
Oh, that's a weird trend.
Yeah, so that's out as well. So yeah, check that out. What about you, Mark? Have you done anything new lately?
Yeah, I've really enjoyed the new covers EP by The Excerpts. Of the podcast, The Excerpts. Yeah, they've done a lot of different kind of sounding songs. They did We Built This City on Rock and Roll, and then they did Complicated by Avril Lavigne.
Nice.
And it's sounding lovely. I'm really enjoying Murray's vocals and their take on everything. Also been listening to Modson, who directed the Machine Gun Kelly's Downfall High film based on his new record and everything. That was very enjoyable. And yeah,
he's got a song with Avril, hasn't he?
He has, yeah, it's really good. Flames.
Avril, I know you fucking listen every week. Come on the podcast. Oh, it's not complicated.
Oh, lovely. I'm glad you made that joke.
I turned into you.
You
did.
You did.
I hate myself.
Everyone knows that's one of my dream guests for this podcast. If we can get Avril Lavigne on this, I would absolutely love every second of it. And
Piece of piss. Let me text her there now. Go on. You carry on. I'll text her.
I was just going to say, over the weekend as well, I've watched... Well, I went back and watched all of the NFL playoff games from this season and very into it. So I'm looking forward to the next round and then the Super Bowl.
Wouldn't that take you like 7 weeks to watch
a long game? But what you do, if you're smart like me, right? Because they're on late here for UK time. You record them and then you just don't Google the scores. And then you watch every quarter and then fast forward when it goes to a break. So instead of like 7 hours...
But that break is every 4 minutes. Just watch the fucking highlights, surely.
Aye, but you might miss something, like a really nice injury. Not like, you know...
What? Oh, yeah, I can't believe I fast-forwarded and a man broke his leg and I was fucking gutted. What do you mean?
Yeah, just shit like that happens all the time. And when they slow...
What, leg breaking?
No, not legs breaking, but like when they... gauge in the helmets and there's a flag on the play and all this.
Oh, look out, there's a flag. Look out, that fellow's dressed as a zebra, throwing a yellow fucking thing up in the air. It's a mad sport.
I don't mind it.
I just don't know how you could have watched all the playoff games in one weekend, because surely that takes up every game's about 3 hours. If you fast forward them, they've got to be an hour and a half, haven't they? How many games? How many hour and a halfs? Oh, I won't even go into this. We've gone too far. We've gone too long on this anyway. I'll stop now. I'll stop. We can tell you what, in the group, we'll carry on some sort of American football chat if they want it. But I'm sure they want, because they're clever. So,
But as you mentioned, if you'd like to support our mad ramblings and us in any way, please head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin. As we said in the intro, it helps this thing going each and every week. And without it, we would be homeless and begging for food, and no one wants that. So save Sean and Morgan by signing up to patreon.com/sapnin. If you can't, I know it's a really hard time, please do follow us on social media at Sapnin Pod. Give us a like on all the stuff, share it, and send it to your friends. Tell them this conversation with Les and Jake was a very good laugh. You should listen to it, and it'll make your weekend better.
Yeah, as Morgan said, we understand it's a really hard time for people at the moment. So, yeah, if you can't afford anything, that's fine. But please, please give us a share, give us a like, give us a follow and stuff. It doesn't cost anything. I know if you share our stuff on your wall, you might lose some cool points. But overall, you'll be helping us fantastically. So please, please think about it. This podcast is free each and every week. Yeah, that wouldn't be possible without the Patreon. So again, patreon.com/sapnin. On Instagram and Twitter, that's at sapninpod, at sappeninpod. That's at sappeninpod. And yeah, we've got some people to thank from the Patreon now.
We do. So if you head to the description of this episode, there's a host of names of people in there that we love to shout out and give our love to each and every week. But Sean is going to read out the names of the people in the top tiers. They've probably changed their names to something wacky to have a laugh at our expense. And we're going to find out what those are now.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thank you very much to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwaway, Mitch Perry, Emma Barber, Janelle Castan, Kelly Young, Nathan Croshaw, DeLorean Iowa, Jima Lolly Gagin Lolly. That's Dilly Grimwood, and her name doesn't fit in the thing, so I can't really read it all out. Thank you very much, Paul Hirschfield, Kelly Irwin, Michael Engler, Liam Connolly, Scooby Drew Styles, Dana Good Shabos Lasnova, Rude Boy Anti-Disestablishmentarianism, Heebie Jeebies, Jelly Beans Anti-Disestablishmentarianism, Mario Kart Ewok Shabba. Thank you very much to Kat Besant, Amadine Urbano, Loz, Tony Michael, Tsunami, Obladi, Oblada, Mario Kart, Obladi, Oblada, Wrigley, Ewok, Nibbles, Amy Campion, Johnny Phillips, Scott Jones, Bert, Simon Amos, Obladi, Oblida, Lollygaggin, Iowa, Jimmy Vroom, Ewok, Rude Boy, Anti-Disestablishmentarianism, Mario Kart, Ewok, Shabba, Kate Stevenson, Jenny Sexy Boy Munster, Emily Senegals, Danny Eaton, Martina McManus, Lucy Diaz, Erin Howard, Becky Andy, John and Emma, Joob Soob Hoob Roob Doob Boob. Nice. Marcy Jacobson, Brian Pinker, Jenny Robinson, Louis Cook, Kevin Clark, Caroline Robinson, Cilantro Rude Boy, Anti Disestablishment, Jima Jeffrey, Heebie Jeebie, Anti Disestablishment, Jima Shah. Where are these fucking names from? Or why have they? I think they do these things thinking we play a game of like, guess what this might be about? Guess what? I haven't got a fucking clue. Anyway, thank you very much to Kelly Emma Cannon, Sandra Kuacek, Livy Cropper, Tallulah Grant, James McNaught, Knight Ewok, Lollygaggin, Lollygaggin, Mario Kart, Anti-Disestablishmentarianism, Lollygaggin, Lollygaggin, Ewok, something. That was Kelly Mallory. Her name doesn't fit. Thank you very much, Stuart McNaught, Sharif Awadali, Lydia Henderson, Julian Dun, 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 Ravitch. Well, I've guessed the tune wrong, obviously. Jacob Turner, Tsunami Jelly Beans, Anti-Disestablishmentarianism, Mario Kart Busty, Lollygaggin, Ewok, Rude Boy Shabba, Heebie Jeebies, Anti-Disestablishmentarianism. Oh, Jesus Christ. Josh, why did the Scarrow win an award? Because he was outstanding in his field, Crisp. Adam Parslow, Alice Wood, Katrina E. Rex, Sean E. Norma's Cock Robinson. Katrina E. Rex, Sean E. Norma's Cock. I get the Sean E. Norma's Cock, right? Sean E. Norma's Cock, innit? But what's the... Anyway. And Cilantro, Ewok, Rude Boy, Yvette Fielding. Nice. Anti-establishmentarianism, Nibble. I don't know, but that was Kerris Andrews. Thank you very much to all those people. A big fuck you to everybody who changed their names to those mad names. Why not change them all to, like, names that sound like rude things? Or, I don't know, that I could read out and get wrong.
I didn't get the whole lollygagging anti-establishment thing. They've gone mad. They've literally gone mad, and it's a little bit worrying. It's my birthday on Tuesday, so technically, if you wanted to wish me a late happy birthday for next week's one, that'd probably be easier for you to read. Although you would have to tell me you love me like a lot. Well,
depends if they say they love you, though. Depends if they write down Sean loves Morgan, happy birthday, have a great birthday, or whatever. So yeah, if you've listened and your name's there, thank you very much. If you're part of the Patreon, thank you very much. If you've thought about becoming part of the Patreon, thank you very much. If you used to be part of the Patreon, thank you very much. If you don't share and follow us, a big fuck you, and you should follow us. That's the end of this week's podcast, episode 113. How will we manage this? I do not know, but I will say it every fucking week. Thank you very much to everybody involved. Thank you very much to Morgan. Thank you again to Chris. Thank you to Les and Jake. And thank you to our Lord and Saviour, Fred Durst.
I was hoping you'd go there. But yes, please ever die. Sending all the love, stay positive, and we will see you next and every Friday.
Jesus Christ, every Friday.
Every single Friday, yeah.
You poor bastards. Sapnin!
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.